from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through research, economic development, and education. Information about KU programs and initiatives is at ku.edu.
81 degrees in Lawrence, 79 in Emporia. It is 6:06.
Brazil.
Thanks for listening to All Things Considered. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org, where you'll find a complete list of all of our frequencies.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Casey Farm School, stewarding 14 acres of urban land in Kansas City, Kansas, that provides plants and food through their spring plant sales and weekly CSA and Farm Stop. Details at caseyfarmschool.org.
Thanks so much for joining us this evening here on KPR. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, we can get you an update of news headlines. That's going to happen at 6:30. In just about 2 minutes, we are going to learn about the thorny problem of coverage for GLP-1 drugs. They're becoming more widely accepted, and fewer insurance companies are actually paying for them. We will also learn about what they're calling the tamale law in Colorado. It all has to do with small business regulations, all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, hosting Weird Science with Mary Roach, author of Replaceable You, Adventures in Human Anatomy, Thursday, April 23rd, 7 p.m. at Liberty Hall. Details at lplks.org.
We do still have a tornado watch in effect until 9 o'clock tonight for a portion of the KPR listening area, including Allen, Johnson, Lynn, Miami, Neosho, Wilson, and Wyandotte counties in Kansas, Andrew, Bates, Buchanan, Cass, Clay, Jackson, Nottoway, and Platte counties in Missouri. That does include the greater Kansas City metro. Again, that tornado watch in effect till 9 o'clock tonight. For most of the rest of the KPR listening area, 20% chance of showers and storms tonight and quite a bit cooler with lows down in the lower 50s. The time is 6:20. This is KPR.
Support for...
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR station's Morning Edition is the program. KPR is the place. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Theodore Lawrence, presenting Dial M for Murder, a noir-inspired suspenseful thriller, showing April 17th through the 18th and 23rd through the 26th. Ticket information and more at theodorelawrence.com.
News headlines are coming up next. It's 81 degrees in Lawrence, 80 in Topeka. It's 6:30.
A mixed bag of trading on Wall Street today as companies continue to report their latest corporate earnings. The Dow lost 72 points. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. We do have a tornado watch in effect until 9 p.m. for Allen, Johnson, Lynn, Miami, Neosho, Wilson, and Wyandotte counties in Kansas. Also for Andrew, Bates, Buchanan, Cass, Clay, Jackson, Nottoway, and Platte counties in Missouri. That does include the greater Kansas City metro area. In other news, Kansas is an important cog in the U.S. helium production machine, but a recent missile strike in Qatar could have an effect on the entire industry. State House reporter Zach Boblett explains.
Qatar was producing one-third of helium worldwide before the strike. The gas is a byproduct of natural gas production. Helium is more than a way to air up balloons. The resource is critical for cooling MRI machines and the production of microchips. Kansas has 8 helium production plants. Helium consultant Phil Kornbluth expects Kansas producers to sell more, but says new production is unlikely.
Kansas is no longer what I would say I would call a real highly active area for exploration.
Kornbluth says the southwestern U.S. and western Canada will be explored for new helium production. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Kansas will ban kratom products in July, citing a lack of research on the safety and effectiveness of the opioid. But some shop owners say they were blindsided by the new law and will have to shut down. Josh Schwab owns 5 shops that sell kratom in Wichita. He says many of his customers take kratom instead of heroin or fentanyl.
I'm honestly really scared to see what happens. I don't want to see our customers end up in the hospital or end up dead because they went back to pills or fentanyl.
Experts say there needs to be more research on kratom, especially the synthetic versions. It is not approved by the FDA for human consumption. Synthetic versions can be more addictive, more potent, and carry an increased risk of overdose. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, a 20% chance of showers and storms overnight, cooler with a low in the lower 50s. For Thursday, sunshine, highs in the lower 80s. Tomorrow night, mostly clear in the evening, becoming partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. On Friday, a 70% chance of showers.
Support for NPR.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we know you're busy, so we get straight to the point. We go to the people who have the facts, who know the story firsthand, and the decision makers, and we ask the tough questions.
So, Bobby, bubble or no bubble?
Is the system ready?
Is that statement true?
Do they have a plan?
What's in the deal?
What does this mean, then, for elections in the fall?
Get to the point with us every weekday morning.
Join us tomorrow morning, beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. You'll hear Morning Edition tomorrow. Your local host is Matthew Algio. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us today. We have about 11 more minutes of All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations, 7:01, we'll have an update of news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Steve Seal as your host, followed at 9 o'clock by Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from the Folly Theater, presenting the genre-defying music of jazz drummer and activist Terry Lynn Carrington on April 18th. Tickets at follytheater.org.
Some good news. The tornado watch in effect until 9 p.m. for Johnson, Lynn, Miami, Wyandotte counties, the entire Kansas City metro. That's being allowed to expire. So the only tornado watch we currently have in effect is for Allen, Neosho, and Wilson counties in the KPR listening area. Allen, Neosho, and Wilson counties down around Chanute. You have a tornado watch till 9 p.m.
Nod from someone more experienced. And I was so devastated when it wouldn't happen, when in reality, we're not necessarily going to get that sign. But we can give ourselves that permission.
Right. Turn on your own green light.
Absolutely.
Kelly Yang's new book is called The Take. Thank you so much for coming into NPR West today, Kelly.
Thank you so much, Elsa. This is so much fun.
It was so much fun.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Fisher Investments, Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, celebrating a century of supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at mott.org/100. From Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on safe driving habits, at progressive.com. Not available in California or from all agents. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
My voice is not AI. On Morning Edition from NPR News, you will always hear humans reporting stories about other humans for humans like you.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Matthew Algio will be your local host. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Meadowlark Wine Bar and Kitchen, located at 1011 Massachusetts Street, offering a curated selection of traditional and natural wines, handcrafted cocktails, and a variety of shareable plates and entrees. More at meadowlarkwinebar.com.
Thanks so much for joining us. We have news headlines coming up in less than a minute. It will be followed by Stardate. Then 2 hours of classical music coming your way. Steve Seal will be your host.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
The tornado watch that had been in effect for the Kansas City metro area has been allowed to expire. We do still have a tornado watch till 9 p.m. for Allen, Neosho, and Wilson County. So listeners down on the Chanute translator, be aware, have multiple ways to receive warnings until 9 o'clock. It is 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department has opened an investigation into former Representative Eric Swalwell over allegations he sexually assaulted a woman in July 2018. Frank Stoltz reports.
The Sheriff's Department said in a statement that its Special Victims Bureau is investigating Swalwell after a woman alleged he drugged, choked, and raped her in a West Hollywood hotel room 8 years ago. The L.A. District Attorney is also investigating. Swalwell resigned from Congress Monday and dropped out of the race for governor a day earlier after a series of women came forward with sexual assault or sexual misconduct allegations. NPR has not independently confirmed those accusations. He had been a front-runner in the race. Swalwell has forcefully denied the allegations. For NPR News, I'm Frank Stoltz in Los Angeles.
The war in Iran has caused the largest disruption to oil supplies in history, and as a result, the cost of jet fuel for airplanes is soaring. Now airlines have started to pass those rising costs on to their passengers. NPR's Camilla Domonoske has more.
The United States is the world's largest oil producer and net exporter of jet fuel, so there's much less risk of actual shortages in the States. But the United States is still interconnected to the global oil market, and with jet fuel, where it's made in the U.S. isn't always where it's needed, and it's a big country, so California actually buys a lot of jet fuel from South Korea, and South Korea relies on crude from the Persian Gulf.
NPR's Camilla Domonoske. Brent crude prices settled at roughly $95 a barrel today, slightly higher than yesterday, but well below a recent peak of $119 a barrel. U.S. Catholic bishops have taken the extraordinary step of issuing a statement clarifying the church's teaching on just war. NPR's Jason DeRose reports the move comes after Vice President J.D. Vance advised Pope Leo XIV to, quote, be careful when giving his opinion on matters of theology.
In the midst of a days-long back and forth over Iran, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops writes, quote, for over 1,000 years, the Catholic Church has taught just war theory, and it is that long tradition the Holy Father carefully references in his comments on war. The Church holds that nations should only take up the sword in self-defense once all peace efforts have failed. The bishops conclude with this stern rebuke. When Pope Leo XIV speaks, quote, he is is not merely offering opinions on theology. He is preaching the gospel and exercising his ministry as the vicar of Christ. Jason DeRose, NPR News.
Wall Street, the S&P 500 closed at its highest ever, gaining 55 points and ending the day at 7,022. This is NPR.
Stardate, April 15th. The Coma Galaxy Cluster is like a cosmic iceberg. What you see is impressive, but what you don't see is even more impressive. The cluster is centered more than 300 million light-years away, and it spans 25 million light-years. It contains thousands of individual galaxies. Many of them are far bigger and heavier than our own galaxy, the Milky Way. But in the 1930s, German astronomer Fritz Zwicky found something odd. He measured the motions of individual galaxies within the cluster. They were zipping along much too fast to be held in check by the gravity of the visible galaxies. They should all fly away from each other. Zwicky concluded that something else was acting as a sort of gravitational glue. He called it dark matter, matter that couldn't be seen, but that exerted a gravitational pull on the visible matter around it. It took decades to confirm that finding, and even today we don't know what dark matter really is. The leading idea says it's some type of subatomic particle, but despite many years of searching, no such particle has been found. All we know for sure is that dark matter accounts for about 85% of all the matter in the universe, the vast hidden depths of the cosmic iceberg. The Coma Cluster is in Coma Berenices. The constellation is in the east at nightfall. It's above brilliant Arcturus, the brightest star of Bootes, and to the lower left of Leo, the lion. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin MacDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. So glad to be listening to music with you. This opera by German-Italian composer Amano Wolf-Ferrari comes on all enigmatic. It's called The Secret of Susanna. The premise of the opera is a husband thinks his wife is having an affair because he's discovered that she smells like cigarettes. In the end, it's discovered that, wait for it, she's secretly a smoker. Ooh, there's a load off. In its defense, the opera is only 45 minutes long, so, you know, you're in and out of there quickly, and the music is delightful. One musicologist wrote, "The opera has an obvious appeal, which even subsequent cancer research has not seriously undermined." Here is the overture. Thank you. Lance Friedel conducting the Royal Scottish National Orchestra. That was the overture from The Secret of Susanna by Wolf Ferrari. I'm sure you can probably guess what a nonet is. It's an octet plus one. Louis Théodore Gouvy was a man of two cultures. We're looking at composers from more than one nation this hour. He was divided between France and Germany. He wrote this suite as a nonet for winds, nine winds. It's performed here by the United States Air Force Band, who definitely have more than nine members, but hey, it's the Air Force. They can do what they want. Don't mess with them. Lowell Graham, conducting the United States Air Force Band's performing Petite Suite Galloise by Louis-Théodore Gouvy. A 45-year quartet is coming up.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Soulis Auctions, presenting international works of art and cultural artifacts from the estate of a Kansas collector who moved to Tokyo, Japan in 1978. Details at MidwestArtAuction.com. And the Folly Theater, presenting the genre-defying music of jazz drummer and activist Terry Lynn Carrington on Saturday. Tickets at FolleyTheater.org. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. A tornado watch is in effect for parts of our listening area. It's 77 and fair. Wind is from the west at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 77 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
The Artist Quartet of Vienna disbanded just last year after a 45-year run. They got together in 1980, and that's with all the same players, which I think is unprecedented. Here they are performing the String Quartet by Austrian composer Johanna Müller-Hermann.
Thank you.
the Artists Quartet performing the String Quartet by Johanna Müller-Hermann. Spartacus is next.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Audio Reader, an audio information service for anyone who has difficulty reading standard print. Grateful for the generous support of all volunteers and donors. More information at reader.ku.edu. And Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. A tornado watch is in effect for parts of our listening area. It's 77 and fair. Wind is from the west at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the mid 80s. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 77 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Looking at international composers, composers from two different worlds this hour, the final selection is Russian-Armenian composer Aram Khachaturian. He wrote his ballet Spartacus in 1956. The movie arrived about 4 years later. They were both based on a book, a historical novel by Howard Fast. Here's the best-known piece from the ballet. It's the Adagio. Long before Kirk Douglas got anywhere near it. The Russian National Orchestra performing the Adagio from Spartacus by Aram Khachaturian.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A tornado watch is in effect for parts of our listening area. It's 77 and fair. Wind is from the west at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the mid 80s. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 77 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Money and desperation don't mix well. That's the tough lesson this composer had to learn. By the end of the Great War, he was broke. He couldn't collect royalties for his music because the worldwide economy was in shambles. His only chance to get back in the black was to send the original copy of this concerto to two colleagues in the United States, hoping they could sell it there and send him the cash. I'm Jake Armerding. The rest of that story is coming up this hour.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. President Trump renewed his threat to fire the chairman of the Federal Reserve, but as NPR's Scott Horsley reports, the administration's actions could backfire. After the recent death of another Mexican national in ICE detention, the country called the pattern of its citizens dying in U.S. immigration custody unacceptable. From member station KJZZ, Nina Kravinsky reports from Hermosillo, Mexico.
Mexico says at least 15 Mexican nationals have died in ICE detention or during immigration enforcement action since January of 2025, the latest being a 49-year-old who ICE says was found unresponsive at a Louisiana facility over the weekend. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum says she's called on all Mexican consulates in the U.S. that have an ICE detention facility under their jurisdiction to increase consular visits to those facilities from weekly to daily.
Entonces, por supuesto que vamos a hacer todo.
We're going to do everything necessary to defend Mexican nationals, Sheinbaum says. Mexico says it has formally asked U.S. authorities to conduct thorough investigations into each of the deaths. For NPR News, I'm Nina Kravinsky in Hermosillo, Mexico.
U.S. Central Command says that no vessels have made it through a 48-hour naval blockade in the Strait of Hormuz. But how is this war selling across the country? A new focus group of swing voters observed exclusively by NPR expressed reservations about the way things are going. NPR's Mara Liasson has more.
Well, most of the 13 voters, and this was Georgia, disapprove of the president and the war, and they said a version of this. Here's Dawn.
Why have you gotten us into so many things outside of our borders when there's so much we need to take care of inside our own?
This sounds like a Trump ad. Take care of America first. In some sense, these voters felt a betrayal from the president. Here's Nick.
I'm very anti-war, and initially I was led on to believe that he was also very anti-war, but that hasn't necessarily been played out.
Now, some of these voters were happy with a few aspects of the Trump administration's policies, like getting the southern border under control.
NPR's Mara Liasson reporting, President Trump told Fox Business News this morning that the war in Iran was very close to over.
The tax filing deadline for most Americans is today. President Trump's administration highlighted the impacts of Republicans' massive tax and spending law. The law eliminates taxes on tips and overtime for millions of people, exempts interest on certain car loans, and gives new deductions to some seniors. The administration says more than 53 million filers claim deductions under these provisions as of yesterday. This is NPR News.
Thinking out loud, giving a voice to those that have lost theirs.
Hi, I'm Belinda Okwame, a fifth-year bioengineering PhD student at the University of Kansas, and my research is developing brain-computer interfaces that assist people who cannot talk.
People who have lost the ability to speak due to ALS or other immobilizing diseases can use these devices to turn thoughts into words. How do they work?
The thoughts that I'm talking about will be movement thoughts. There is a brain signal that can be seen, and so these signals then can be translated into some form of selection signal on your interface or your computer that you can see, so that you can use that to select the words or letters that you want to put together to form the audio.
The systems that rely on a singular movement or thought signal can sometimes lead to false interpretations, but your system is combining thoughts.
The way the combination will work is we have brain signals or brain patterns that's associated with movements, and so the next brain pattern that we can add is movement intention. These intention signals will accompany the movement signal, so that when that intention signal is not there, the system does not read anything.
How else is your research different?
So what makes my research very special from the others is because it is non-invasive. And so this is just going to be electrodes or caps that are fitted onto the scalp or the head of the individuals. And then through the electrodes, the brain signals can be read.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. Glad to be listening to music with you. Better late than never, that's an idea I embrace. I don't know about you. It more or less defined the musical career of Emmanuel Chabrier, hugely talented composer, but he didn't jump into it full time until he was 40. He worked at least the bulk of his life. The majority was as a civil servant for the French government. His parents had other ideas for him than a career in the arts. When he did finally jump in, he jumped with both feet. He composed Up a Storm until he passed away, which sadly was only 14 years later. How lucky he jumped in at all, though. He could have just said, I'm 40, what's the use? It's never too late.
Thank you.
Scherzo Valse from the Pastoral Suite by Emmanuel Chabrier. You know those times when the sequel picks up exactly where the original left off? Like Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3? You start exactly where you stopped? Beethoven might have had the same idea in mind for his piano sonatas, number 27 and 28. When you finish this one, number 27, if you were to go into the next, it sounds totally like a continuation of the previous one. Which just goes to show, Beethoven would have been great in the movies. Especially Back to the Future. He had essentially the same hair as Doc Brown.
Thank you.
Inger Olafsson performing the Piano Sonata No. 27 by Beethoven. One of the four great German violin concertos, according to Josef Joachim. Coming up.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, featuring Nick Haynes and local guest experts sharing insights and context around major news stories on Week in Review, available wherever you get your podcasts. And the Lawrence Public Library, hosting Weird Science with Mary Roach, author of Replaceable You, Adventures in Human Anatomy, Thursday, April 23rd, 7 p.m. at Liberty Hall. Details at lplks.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 72 and fair. Wind is from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the mid 80s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 72 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Dead broke. By the end of the Great War, he couldn't collect any royalties for his works. The worldwide economy was in shambles. So he sent the original copy of the score of that concerto to the duo pianists Rose and Ottilie Sutro in the U.S. He was hoping they could sell it there and send him the money. It's kind of a cruel story. Brooke ended up dying penniless. The sisters decided to keep the score for themselves for years. Eventually, they sold it and kept the money. So if you were thinking of doing any business with Rose and Ottilie Sutro, just think again.
Thank you.
violinist Ray Chen with the London Philharmonic, Robert Trevino conducting, the Violin Concerto No. 1 by Max Bruch. An Eglog coming up. Thank you. an eglog, not to be confused with eggnog. As, of course, you know, it's a poem in a classical style on a pastoral subject. That one was by Mel Bonis, performed by Miriam Barbo Cohen.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 72 and fair. Wind is from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the mid 80s. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 72 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. The Lebanese Health Ministry says the Israeli military directly targeted three ambulance teams in consecutive attacks today, killing three paramedics. The ministry says at least 87 health workers have been killed in this current invasion. NPR's Jawad Riscala has more.
Body cam footage shows paramedics in uniform in clearly marked ambulances and with no visible weapons, and captures the last strike. The ministry says an ambulance team was hit while rescuing people from an earlier strike. A subsequent ambulance that responded was also targeted. In a third attempt, two ambulances from different services were dispatched and also got hit. The Israeli military did not respond to our request for comment. Mohammed Sleiman, the head of operations of the last ambulance service hit, says they were operating in a civilian area, not in an area he called the red zone. He says he survived an Israeli double tap in 2024, but this is the first time he's heard of a quadruple tap. Jawad Rasghalla, NPR News, Beirut.
The GOP-controlled Senate has once again blocked a Democratic-led effort to limit President Trump's war powers in Iran. But as NPR's Claudia Grisales reports, Democrats say they'll try again.
Democrats are demanding Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and Secretary of State Marco Rubio testify publicly on the conflict. Here's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Not a single hearing, not a single discussion. Well, I'm going to tell my Republican colleagues, they're not going to be able to escape continuing to vote on this.
Only Kentucky GOP Senator Rand Paul has defected to join Democrats who have argued for an end to the costly and unpopular war. So far, most Republicans have defended Trump, but more are speaking out, saying publicly that support could run out when the war hits a 60-day mark at the end of this month. Claudia Rizales, NPR News, The Capitol.
The chief of the U.S. Forest Service is defending a controversial downsizing plan and a headquarters move from Washington, D.C. to Utah. Administration officials, meanwhile, promise they are going to be ready for the summer wildfire season. NPR's Kirk Sigler reports.
Moving the Forest Service headquarters out of D.C. is part of a broader reorganization that includes consolidating or closing regional offices and research stations in the West. Speaking on NPR and WAMU's 1A, Forest Service Chief Tom Schultz said none of this will occur until after the summer wildfire season, which he says the agency is prepared for.
In terms of the hiring that we're doing, the actions that we're taking, we will be protecting communities and we will be
as resourced, if not more resourced, for protecting communities than we have been in the past.
Schultz also says relocating to Utah will put forest managers closer to rangers and locals most affected by federal decisions, insisting it's not an attempt to sell or transfer federal public land ownership to states. Kirk Ziegler, NPR News, Boise.
This is NPR News in Washington. New York utility Con Edison says it will support legislation making it easier for people to use plug-in or balcony solar panels. NPR's Jeff Brady reports not all utilities in all states like the idea.
Plug-in solar panels are installed in minutes and plug into a regular outlet where they start shaving at least some money off a utility bill right away. More than 30 state legislatures had bills introduced this year to speed plug-in solar adoption, but utilities opposed them, citing safety and grid reliability concerns. Con Edison's Britt Reichborn Schenerud says her company believes those concerns have been addressed.
We are excited about this technology, and we do think it's a really good opportunity for New Yorkers who are living in apartments and otherwise couldn't install solar energy to be able to have access to that technology.
Lawmakers have passed similar bills in Utah, Maine, and Virginia. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
Ticketmaster, considered to be the world's largest ticket seller for live events, has been found by a New York jury to be part of an anti-competitive monopoly along with concert giant Live Nation. Ticketmaster is a subsidiary of Live Nation. The civil case against the businesses was initiated by the federal government, then picked up by several states. As personified in the 2022 Taylor Swift concert tour, customers have found the tickets wildly expensive, and for those unable to score them, extremely frustrating despite hours of efforts. Live Nation promises to appeal this case. A lawyer for the state says this has been a great day for antitrust law. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
Thank you.
Majestic Sonny Rollins in one of his very greatest solos to his own piece, Alfie's Theme, which he wrote for the English movie Alfie. From the album Alfie, it's original music from the score. It's not a soundtrack album because Sonny recorded that in English, in England with English jazz musicians, but he came back to America and recorded this with Oliver Nelson's arrangements in a great nine-piece band. One of the great achievements of one of the greatest jazz musicians, Sonny Rollins, Alfie's Theme, from the album called Alfie. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. If you haven't seen Alfie, it's a great movie, and it really made Michael Caine a huge star. He had come to prominence in the movie Zulu, and then the Ipcris File, where he played kind of a shady character who'd become a spy. And in Alfie, he played a Cockney womanizer, seemingly carefree, and at the start of the movie, somewhat appealing, but his sleazy, sordid side shows up as the movie goes along. And it's got the music of Sonny Rollins. Can't beat that. Speaking of movies with some great music, West Side Story produced a lot of that out on the stage and the screen. And we're going to hear from Oscar Peterson's trio music from that movie in just a bit. Right now, a new duo album, singer Turney Sutton and pianist Tamir Hendelman from the album Spring, the new one. And spring can really hang you up the most here on KPR.
Once I was a sentimental thing, threw my heart away each spring. Now a spring romance hasn't got a chance. Promised my first dance to a winter. All I've got to show is a splinter for my